Yes, it's Benny Hill time, with Peter Vernon, Jan Waters, the Michael Sam Singers, and the BBC Variety Orchestra, conducted by Paul Fennelly. It's also time for the lad himself, Benny Hill.
That not many people realize the hard work that goes into finding out just what kind of shows you, the listeners, enjoy. So earlier this week, Peter Vernon went along to the BBC Audience Research Department to find out just how this is done. Just a minute, just a minute.
Wipe the lipstick off your face.
Will you wipe it off? I can't see it.
There, that's better.
Well, get off me lap then.
All right, don't get nasty.
I'm not getting nasty. Hurry up, comb your hair. You look like a sheepdog. Come in.
Ah, Mr. Scuttle?
That is right, sir. And this is my girl, my secretary.
Oh, hello. So this is where you find out what people like.
That is so, sir.
I know what he likes.
Thank you, Miss Goosens. That will be all. You may leave us now.
All right, then.
Don't forget your shoes. And put them on outside.
Now, Mr. Scuttle.
You must forgive her, sir. She's had a very hard day.
Yes, of course. Well, now, Mr. Scuttle, radio caters to millions of people every week. And to ascertain the size and tastes of this vast unseen audience must be a major problem. How do you go about it?
Well, sir, as you have just said, out there listening to us is a fast and obscene audience. Most of them, sir, are broken down.
Broken down?
They are broken down into categories, you see, sir. We break them down to categories according to their likes and dislikes.
Oh, you go and ask them?
Well, not necessarily, sir. I mean, you see, to a certain extent, we work on assumption.
Assumption?
Yeah, well, so we assume that women like woman's hour, that workers like workers' playtime, that chambermaids like chamber music. Personally, it drives me poppy, sir, but there's no account of the thing.
Well, now, how many listeners would you say there are in this country?
We estimate that there are 59 million listeners in Great Britain.
But the entire population's only 50 million.
Some listen more than others.
I see. I suppose you use highly skilled investigators for this job.
Oh, yes, sir. They must be able to interview people anywhere at any time. So they must really be able to talk to them man to man, sir. Like in their own language, you see.
So they're expected to interview them in the vernacular.
If that is where they are, sir. They may have to shout, but they will get through.
Well, now, I see there's a very impressive-looking graph behind you on the wall. What exactly does it show?
That graph shows the number of listeners we interviewed last week.
There seems to be a very sharp rise around Thursday. How do you explain that?
That is my secretary, Miss Goosens, sir. You see, she was making up the graph down here, you see, and sort of running her pencil along the wall, whilst bending down and walking backwards at the same time. When, sir, I accidentally and inadvertently bumped into her, sir. And that, sir, accounts for that sharp rise around Thursday.
No, I see, yes, of course. Well, now, while I'm here, I thought I might make a few inquiries about the Benny Hill show.
Who, sir?
Benny Hill.
Benny. Is he religious?
Well, I don't know much about his private life.
No, I mean, is he religious talk, sir? So what section does he come under? Schools? Women's programs? Factual programs?
He's a comedian. He's very funny.
Oh, fiction, sir, yes. Right, let's have... Oh, don't say anything down here, sir. Oh, wait a minute, sir. Is he the one who does the folk song, sir?
Yes.
He's in the Harvest of Love, meh. That yes. One. Oh, yeah, he does like different voices, doesn't he?
Yes.
Oh, I know him, sir. He's rotten.
You don't like him?
I certainly do not, sir. He's bombastic, he is pompous, he's infantile, vulgar, and he's thoroughly unpleasant as well. Besides that, he's fat.
Well, really, you can't say much. I mean, you're quite plump.
Kindly leave this office at once.
But why?
I can't stand people being personal. Go on, get out of here.
Some of the finest art galleries in the world are to be found in London. And how pleasant it is to pass an hour or two wandering through them, quietly contemplating some of their lovely paintings.
Harry, when you said we was going to the pictures, I thought you meant we was going to the Regal, not coming here to an art gallery.
Just a minute, Lofty, don't talk for a bit. I want a drink in the pure beauty of this lovely painting with its psychological overtones and centrifugal force in it. It has, I feel, a deep significance.
Oh, what is it?
Well, it's obvious, isn't it? It's a Van Gogh.
Ah, who painted it?
Van Gogh. Ain't you ever heard of Van Gogh?
No, who's he?
Well, he was a famous Dutch painter at a flamenco school. He was, like, very highly strung and sensitive, rather like what I am, you know. And he had this birdie fence, he'd only, she went off with some other bloke. So you know what he done?
No.
He cut off his ear and sent it to her.
Well, what'd he do that for?
Oh, I don't know. Perhaps he wanted to hear from her. Well, they're very temperamental painters, are.
Well, how do you know so much about it, then?
Well, through when I was the window cleaner.
What's that got to do with it?
I used to do a painter's window.
Ah. Hey, Harry.
Yeah?
Did this painter, like, use models?
Oh, yeah.
Did you see any of them?
Oh, yeah.
Did you fancy any of them?
The girls I did, not the wet fish.
Here, Harry, did you ever see any of these girls in the All Together?
Yeah, four of them.
What, four of them? Starkers?
No, in the All Together. They were together in the All. Waiting to see him, see?
Ah.
Of course, I've seen him paint one bird like that, Starkers, you know.
Did you?
Yeah. That was the day I twisted my ankle.
How?
Well, the ladder broke. Well, there was three of us on it at the time. Oh, look, Lofty, ain't that painting fascinating? That's got hidden depth, that has.
I think it's upside down.
No, it's a Picasso. He's always looked like that. It says here he painted that during his blue period.
Yeah, you can see he weren't happy when he done it. Now, that one's better.
What one?
That girl there, sitting in the snow.
She looks cheeky, don't she?
Yeah. Who done it?
Let's have a look here. Body Chili.
Harry, I still wish we could have gone down the Regal.
If you want to meet a decent class of girl, you won't find them there. I mean, if you want to mix with deads and society girls, I mean, you've got to go where they coagulate, ain't you? And places of culture and refinement, like museums and art galleries and all that rubbish. I mean, that's where you'll find a Mayfair bird.
Yeah, I suppose you're right, Harry.
Of course I'm right. And what sort of a wife are you going to find amongst that lot you knock about with? I mean, look, you've got no job, no prospects. Your mum supports you by taking in washing?
Well, she ain't strong enough to do heavy work.
I know, but here it is, isn't it? I mean, you've got to let them know that you're an eligible bachelor. It's time we found you a mate.
Well, I've got a mate, Harry. I've got you.
No, I mean a girl mate.
Ah. Oh. Well, what about her, then?
Who?
That one over there by that big picture.
Huh?
Yeah, that big painting by the door.
Oh, yeah, very nice. Got a lovely frame and all.
I'm talking about the girl.
So am I. Yeah, I bet she's like a Deb or something. Her dad's probably a millionaire or an oil typhoon, something like that.
I should think she's got a very nice manor.
Yeah, probably a townhouse and all. Look. I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll nip across and I'll chat her up a bit, culture-wise, that is. And when I give you the nod, you come over and start with a posh chat, like I showed you.
Yeah, all right, Harry.
Here we go, then. It is a lovely painting, isn't it?
Quite lovely.
Seems to be trying to say something.
Indeed it does. Now, I'm sure I don't know what.
What a deep and searching commentary on our social and economical emotions it is, to be sure.
You know it very well.
Better than life itself, I sometimes think.
I adore money, don't you?
No, but it's not everything, though, is it?
This painting, I regard it as somehow, sort of, well, to me, it's sensual.
Oh, yeah, very necessary, these paintings are, you know. I wonder if I might get my colleague over here. He's a great aficionado of the arts.
Who is he, the gentleman over there with the beard, looking at the Van Dyke?
No, the one next to him, picking his teeth. Lofty, just a minute.
Yeah?
This is the gentleman I was telling you about. Pablo Augustus Vernon.
How do you do?
His grandfather was a famous artist, wasn't he?
Eh?
Your grandfather was a painter.
Oh, yeah.
It's very sad.
Why? What happened?
Well, he was painting a dome of St. Paul's and he stepped back to admire his work. But My colleague here has inherited his artistic temperament, ain't you, Lottie?
Yeah.
Yeah. Tell her about when you've seen him pictures in Paris, you know, on the outing.
What?
The pictures you liked in Paris.
Oh, yeah. Well, this bloke come up to me, you see, and he said, want to buy some postcards?
And I said, well, let's see them.
No. Oh, you're misconstruing what I was saying. Oh, look, when you was in Paris, you went to the Louvre, didn't you?
Yeah, I've been several times.
Well, what painting was it you liked in there?
Oh, the Mona Lisa. And, oh, and the Laughing Caballero by Toulouse-Lautrec.
Ah, Lautrec. What an old master he was.
Well, when you paint like that, you're entitled to be, ain't you? Yeah. Of course, I'm more at a modern school myself.
Oh, well, there's a buffet over there.
Oh, good. I could do with something to eat.
He's got a grand sense of humour, hasn't he? Well, I can see you two have a lot in common, so I'll leave you to yourselves. I don't want to play gooseberry.
Oh, very well, then.
You'll see to it that your chauffeur gets him home all right, won't you?
Well, I go everywhere by bus.
You mean your dad ain't wealthy?
No, he's on the dole.
And your mum?
She takes in washing.
Well, where did you learn to speak posh like that?
Well, at an LCC night school.
Oh, come on, Lofty.
Why, where are we going?
Down to Palais. Perhaps one of the birds down here is one of the pools.
Oh, Barry. I like this one.
Once again, it's time for Benny Go Round, and here to introduce it is Peter Vague.
A rather unusual film, now on release, which has collected many awards for its stars and director, is Man in a Dressing Gown. It tells the story of a domestic experiment in which the wife goes out to work while the husband stays at home and does the housework, a situation which leads to various complications. Well, here's a short extract from the film, which stars Jan Sims and Dirk Hill.
I don't know why I bother. I don't really. Look at my hands. They'll never be soft as my face. Saying she got me a washing up machine, it is really.
Hello, Jan. Not your dishes.
No, less.
Oh dear, you are getting careless.
Well, I can't help it. You startled me. Besides, you're late.
Well, I'm sorry, dear, but I had to stop late at the office.
Humph.
Well, I couldn't help it.
Couldn't help it, I'm sure. You don't care about me, do you? You don't care about me having to stay here and slave over a hot stove all day while you gallivant about enjoying yourself. It's all right for you, isn't it? You can get out and meet people. You don't have to stop at home all day with all the housework and the kids, the washing up, piling up and the kids howling. You don't care about me, do you?
Fred, is there something wrong? Are you all right?
I'm perfectly all right, thank you.
Well, what's the stuff of it?
I don't know. The label's come off the tin.
Well, it's time it was ready.
Look, I'm getting it as fast as I can. I've only got one pair of hands, you know.
Well, I mustn't be late because I promised I'd go down to the social club.
Oh, so it's off to the social club, is it? Well, what about me?
Well, I keep asking you to come down there with me. Why don't you come?
Well, how can I go? I've got nothing to wear.
But what about that blue suit I bought you?
I wore it last time we went out. I can't keep wearing the same old suit.
Well, what about your brown suit?
I got no shoes to go with it. I suppose that Harry Williams will be there again.
I don't know what you mean.
Oh, no.
Hello, Rina.
Hello, Mr. Williams. What on earth are you doing here?
Well, I thought we'd arranged...
Well, come in. We're in rather a mess. My husband's just clearing up.
Oh, no, I wasn't.
Oh, this is Harry Williams, dear. This is my husband.
How do you do? I'm sorry to burst in on you like this.
I should think you are.
Well, I didn't know you'd be so busy.
I suppose you hoped I'd be out.
What do you mean?
You know very well what I mean. You said what I heard me. I know what's been going on. I'm not blamed, you know.
I don't know what you're talking about.
No, you wouldn't, would you?
I'm terribly sorry. I must apologize.
That's right. You apologize for me. I know I look a sight. I know I look a mess, but let me tell you. I used to be smart. Yes, smart and slim. I know I've lost my figure. But I've had three kids, you know.
Well, I only popped in to ask if your wife wanted a ride in my new car.
Then I suppose you'd better go off with him, then.
But, Fred, you're making a big mistake.
Not half as big a mistake as you'll make if you go with him in that car of his.
But my wife's with me. She's waiting in the car. You can come and see for yourself.
In that case, you'd better not keep them waiting.
Are you coming, Enid?
No. I'll see you both down there.
Oh, very well, then. Good night, Mr. Brown.
I'm sorry.
What's got into you, Fred?
I don't know. I'm overwrought and listless. I keep getting them hot flushes. Well, I've had a terrible day.
Well, in that case, I won't go.
You can go if you want to.
No, look, dear. I'll tell you what. Open that bottle of sherry and we'll have a quiet evening at home, just the two of us. Just you and me sitting comfortably together by the fire, like this.
Darling.
Yes.
Just a few things missing, aren't there?
Are there, dear? What?
The pipe and slippers.
Oh, of course, the pipe and slippers. I quite forgot all about them.
Well, hang on, love. I'll go and get them for you.
Well, will the reconciliation last? To find out, see IOU's latest release, Man in a Dressing Gown. Well, now, many of the current British film stars owe much of their success to the lady I have here with me now. She runs the Grimley Academy of Dramatic Art, and she is, of course, Mrs. Emily Grimley.
Hello! Wonderful to be
here. Mrs. Grimley, before starting this acting school, you were an actress yourself, weren't you?
Yes, indeed. I've been on tour, you know, and I've played some quite important parts, too.
Oh, you mean you've actually played leads?
Oh, yes. Manchester, Birmingham. All over.
I suppose you've had a lot of interesting experiences.
Yes. I remember the night I took over from Phoebe Cringe in East Lynne. She left the show and shortly afterwards had twins, a boy and a girl.
Yeah. Anything else?
No, just a boy and a girl.
No, I meant, did anything else interesting happen to you in the play?
Oh, good heavens, yes. I remember one night my performance so moved a man in the audience that he actually tried to commit suicide.
Well, I never. That must have been a frightening experience.
It was. The bullet missed me by 2 inches.
Tell me, what advice would you give to young people entering the acting profession today?
Well, I would suggest, and heaven knows I'm not usually suggestive, but I would suggest enunciate clearly and distinctly.
How wise.
I always used to perform on the stage as if there were no one in the audience except one little man sitting right at the back of the gallery, and it always worked.
Why was that?
Because, as a rule, there was no one in the audience.
Any other advice, Mrs. Grimley?
Yes, always know your lines. They have been written by a professional writer, a man who knows his job, so say them exactly as they were written, and never paraphrase.
Paraphrase? Well, would you like to tell the listeners what you mean by that?
Well, never put things a different way. I mean, if the phrase is, he was bent on seeing her, then you must say he was bent on seeing her. Not the sight of her doubled him up.
See? Well, thank you, and goodbye, Mrs. Grimley. Latest release from the DDT studios is Father Wore Tights. It tells the story of the music hall, right from its start up to its finish. And here's one of the numbers that helped to finish it.
Now drink, it is the curse of man, you've heard that said before. It's drink that makes you get annoyed with your old mother-in-law. You throw the teapot at her and you ruin wedded bliss. It's drink that makes you throw it and it's drink that makes you miss.
Let's be gay, let's be gay. Happy
now, friends, please shed a little tear for our poor sister May. She thinks that she's the chicken and she cackles all the day. Please go to a psychiatrist, her poor old father begs. But Mum says, let the girl alone, you know we need the eggs.
Let's be gay, let's be gay. Let's be happy, thrive and gay.
Poor old Uncle Charlie, he's 84 years old. Last week he went out in the rain and caught a nasty cold. We rubbed his back with whiskey to try and cure his cough. And now he's gone and broken his neck trying to lick it off.
Let's be gay, let's be gay. Let's be happy, bright and gay. It's Benny Hill time. Benny Hill time.
That was Benny Hill Time, with the BBC Variety Orchestra, conducted by Paul Fennelly, the Michael Sam Singers, Peter Vernon, and Jan Waters. Benny Hill Time was written by Benny Hill and produced by John Rowell.